Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live for the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Coming up, we'll talk AFC Championship game. Evan Washburn on the sidelines for the NFL on CBS will join us from a Arctic blast of Kansas City coming up on Sunday night. Evan will join us in about 17 minutes from now. We were just talking about Kyrie Irving playing the role of bigger man by saying that he called LeBron, apologized to LeBron, wanted to get his advice, which is hysterical. Hysterical. Because number one, if you are a true leader, you don't have to tell anybody that you called LeBron. If you are truly secure in who you are and your leadership, you don't have to say, yeah, and by the way, everybody, I called LeBron and I apologized. What he's trying to do is the rope-a-dope. Look, I've got no ego. I apologize. Did I mention I apologized? How often do you want me to remind you that I apologized? It's like the people that say, I'm a good guy. I'm a really good guy. I'm an honest guy. I'm a really honest person. You don't have to tell us you're a good guy or an honest person. If you are those things, it'll just show. Also, Kyrie Irving in apologizing to LeBron. Could you imagine Tom Brady saying, yeah, I called up Joe Montana because I'm just such a mature guy. I had to call up Joe Montana. In the same conversation is asked by a reporter what LeBron said, and Kyrie says, well, I want to keep the conversation private. You just told everybody about it. You couldn't wait to tell everybody you had called LeBron. Also, in that same spiel, Kyrie says, you go and say something publicly, and it ends up being received in so many different ways. And you never know how fragile some guys are. Number one, you're the guy that said the earth was flat. And suddenly you're coming to some type of come to Jesus moment. Man, you never know how some things hit. You just couldn't realize people receive it in different ways. Didn't think about that when you obviously ignored modern science for like 500 years. Number two, in trying to be a quote-unquote sensitive leader, calls other guys fragile. You know, you just never know how fragile some guys are. He also went on to say, trying to be a leader, like I said, only few are meant for it or chosen for it. Obviously suggesting he's been chosen for it. Again, man, what a really great guy. Not an ego around him, huh? Some guys are chosen for it. He also bristled and hated when LeBron publicly castigated or criticized any of the Cavs. And what happened to Kyrie? He did the same exact thing. The same exact thing. It's the reason he left Cleveland and then did it this year. He also said, "It was a learning experience for me. I finally really realized the magnitude of my voice and what I really mean to these guys." Again, you couldn't make it up. "Now, I've got no ego. I'm just trying to be a great guy and a great teammate. I'm learning so much here. I'm learning how important I am to everybody. I'm learning just how influential and powerful I am and how important I am. I'm really important, and so I'm learning how important I am. That's why I called LeBron James, and I apologize, because now I realize just how important I am in the role that he was in." Kyrie is a doofus. Kyrie is a megalomaniac. He is a selfish, self-absorbed doofus. And he wants to be LeBron. He wants to be the alpha male that wins a championship. He wants that. He couldn't lead the team to the playoffs in Cleveland before LeBron got there. The year LeBron got there, they went from lottery team to the finals. Kyrie's not that guy. And say what you want, LeBron has had his missteps before. Don't get me wrong. He has had his missteps within the last couple of months. But LeBron is so much smarter than Kyrie Irving. Kyrie thinks one semester at Duke suddenly made him some type of brainiac. LeBron is smarter. LeBron is more, and he's far more calculated in how he does things. And he is also far easier to follow. He might be hard on you, but LeBron has at least proven he is the best player on the floor when you win a championship. Kyrie will never be the best player on the floor if they win a title. Ever. He's not that good. He's good. He can be great. He is never going to be an all-time guy like LeBron. And he desperately wants to prove that he is better than he is. I mean, Kyrie's talking about winning championships, doing this for young guys, blah, blah, blah. On his trade list from the Cavs was the Knicks. The Knicks. The Knicks. And wasn't the Suns on there as well? Two of the teams he wanted to be traded to were two of the worst teams in the NBA. Now suddenly he's all about winning and bringing young guys around. I think that those guys in that locker room must roll their eyes every time Kyrie speaks. He uses words incorrectly all the time. It's like he's reading that word of a day. He's got that word of the day calendar. He rips off today, "Oh, threshold. Okay, I'm going to use threshold today in my quote. Okay, how can I work threshold into my conversation? Oh, I wanted everything in Cleveland at my threshold." No, Kyrie, that's not how that word should be used. That's the incorrect usage there. "I just want to remind everybody, I'm a bigger man. I apologize to LeBron." That's unnecessary for you to speak publicly if you really are the bigger man. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Did I remind you guys how important I am to the Celtics? I realized that this week, just the magnitude of my voice and how fragile other guys may be. You know, that's on me. Sean Payton, last time out against the Los Angeles Rams, had a message for Marcus Peters. And Marcus Peters is not exactly thrilled about it. Marcus Peters, cornerback of the Los Angeles Rams, after earlier in the season being unhappy with Sean Payton's comments about throwing at him, says they're just going to share a bowl of soup here with Peyton soon. Just, you know, small bowl of gumbo here, right? And if it's just a small bowl of gumbo, maybe they can share it after this NFC Championship game. And maybe Sean Payton's arrogance could come back to knock him.
"Y'all do what y'all gonna do with it. That's cool. I mean, Yeah, like I say, man, I got the utmost respect for the Saints and the head coach and the organization, you know. But things like that, man, I'm going to be ready to play just as much as they're going to be ready to play. We trying to play a game. We ain't trying to talk about no gumbo. We talking about all that stuff afterwards. He's pushing, and it's not going to get no further. I am having fun. We talking about it right now. We laughing about it, man. I don't think that is something that we need to be pushing towards that's over the top of the NFC championship. Let's push that we got the number one team in the NFC versus number two team in the NFC, and we trying to see what we trying to send to the Super Bowl.
Earlier in the season, the Los Angeles Rams losing in New Orleans to the Saints, 45-35. You might remember that game. The Saints jumped out to the big lead, and the Rams came all the way back. But at the end, Drew Brees made more plays than Jared Goff at the end of the game and ended up kind of pulling away. That was about midseason, and the Saints would move to 7-1 on the year. Brees finished with 346, four touchdowns, and no picks. It was a day where offensively both teams did a lot of things right, and I got to think that there's not as many points put up in this game as there was that day. I've got to think that it's not going to be a combined 80 points put up in the NFC Championship game because the refs will allow more to go down. They're going to throw less flags. They'll be able to be more physical on the field. And I think that after seeing each other as well, hopefully defensively they've got some ideas of what to do. This was a 35-14 lead for the Saints nearing the end of the first half, and then it ended up being 35-35 at the beginning of the fourth quarter before the Saints ended up pulling away at the end of the game. I think for Marcus Peters and that Saints defense, they should feel humiliated by that day, because that day, Sean Payton wanted to throw at Marcus Peters, didn't mind throwing that way, and Payton's arrogance, Payton's confidence, Payton's ballsiness of play calling and being open about feuds can get him into hot water. It also helps energize his team. It helps energize his locker room. It's the right play for him and that team, as evidenced by them being the one seed and hosting an NFC Championship game. But make no bones about it, the Rams remember that. The Rams remember Sean Payton and Drew Brees going after them and slicing and dicing them and attacking Marcus Peters, and they're going to want to do something about it. Like I said before, I don't think this game was played in the 80s. A total of 80. I don't think this game is played in the 40s. I think it's probably played in the low 30s. But if the Rams have any shot at winning this game, they've got to do far better than they did earlier in the season against Drew Brees. And that's on Tlaib, it's on Peters, it's on Sue, it's on Aaron Donald, it's on the linebackers, because the Rams have been blitzed before by good offenses. The Saints were one example. The Chiefs were another example. It's far different to beat the Saints in the Superdome than the Cowboys at home. And the Rams have to run the football. They've got to play some keep away. They've got to keep the crowd somewhat out of it for the time being. They cannot get into a track meet, because I believe the Saints win a track meet. A game played in the high 20s, low 30s, Rams can win. I don't think you're going there and winning 48-45. I don't think you're going there and winning 42-38. But Sean Payton does tend to stir the emotions of the opponent. And that might come back to bite the Saints this week, because you got to imagine both Peters and the Rams have a lot of reason to want to shove it right in his face after what happened earlier in the year. When we come back, we'll talk about the AFC title game. Evan Washburn will be on the sidelines. How many layers will he be wearing? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Good morning, buddy. I love your show, man. I'm happy for you. I couldn't be more happy for you, man. Couldn't be more happier. I just like you in general, man. And I follow you on Twitter. I just couldn't be more happier for you, man. There's a lot of people out there that just can't accept facts. People like you that give it to them. That just couldn't be more happier for you.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
If you could just accept my facts, then we could all be happier for me. Welcome back, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. One more win is all it takes for a ticket to Atlanta and Super Bowl 53 on CBS. Arguably the greatest of all time, Tom Brady leading the Patriots into Kansas City. to face the Chiefs and their sensational young quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. Coverage of the AFC Championship game presented by Intuit. TurboTax Live kicks off with the NFL today, powered by Ram Trucks at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, only on CBS! CBS Truck Spectacular, yeah! And our next guest will be roaming the sidelines for the NFL on CBS. He'll be at Arrowhead Stadium for the AFC Championship game and part of the Super Bowl team in Atlanta as well, our friend Evan Washburn. Evan, good morning!
DA, how are you, man?
I am great. How you doing?
Doing well. Excited for a big few weeks here.
So tell me, what's your preparation layers-wise for the sideline on Sunday?
Oh, you always come out of the gate with the hard-hitting questions.
I know.
Look, man, there's a few things I feel confident about, but one of them is my preparation when it comes to the elements, something I learned early on in this sideline business. So, yes, layers are critical, but you don't want to be bulky. You still want to be nimble. So I will say we'll have multiple tights. Not sure if I'm going to go snow pants or corduroys. That's going to be a game-time decision. We'll bring both options to the field. A few down thin layers and then a heavy overcoat. But the big question, DA, really, and it was brought to my attention by Tracy Wolfson this morning. This is my first game with this crew, big stage. Do I wear a hat and cover up the hair, or do I brave it and let the lettuce flow?
That's a great question. I have my own previous experience as a sideline reporter in the MLS for the New England Revolution, and in Foxborough, early season, March or late season, November can be brutal. I would go, this is what I would do. I used to go head, ear mitt. Muffs, but
ooh,
not
wow.
So the hair, the lettuce flow, but you cover up the ears to keep you a little bit warm. But I don't know if you've got to hear somebody through that, if you can put the little wire
in
there.
And look, man, you're a man of style. I think that's really a stretch there for me, because I think that's part of the whole package. I mean, the ears are part of the face, I think you go one way or the other, but these are all really critical points when we talk about this matchup.
You know, being at Arrowhead Stadium on the sideline, it is ridiculously loud. The crowd is close. The fans are built close to the field. So there's a huge advantage that comes out of that when the Chiefs are playing well. And on that point, the defense has played better at home, much better than home, than they have on the road. Do you think that we'll see another solid Chiefs defensive effort like we did last week at home against the Colts, a team that was so maligned for its defense this season?
Yeah, look, I think it's a great point, because as much as we've talked about the weather, whether it be the outfit of sideline reporters or how it's going to affect the players in the game on the field, I think the noise is going to be more impactful than conditions. Because to be honest with you, these sidelines, they have so many heaters that at times these guys may be sweating when they're not out on the field. But it's really loud. The last time the Patriots were there in 2014, we know about that game, it was, I think they set the world record. So to your point, I think this defense really will benefit from that, and I think even more than the noise, too. They've settled in terms of chemistry. They've got Justin Houston back. They've got Daniel Sorensen back. They might get Barry back, it looks like, for this game. So they've kind of found themselves and have a little bit more continuity than I think they had to begin the year. It's still not a great unit by any means, but I think that in terms of chemistry, continuity, that's a benefit. And then, yes, the crowd noise will help, because if you look at New England, their identity to me, which has been sort of an emerging question the entire season, is rooted in the run game. And the run game has been much better at home than it's been on the road. And I don't know, and I'll ask Tom about this when we see him on Saturday, is that because this offensive line, and they can't make as many checks at the line because of noise and hasn't been able to get the ball as quick, if that's contributed to that, and that would be huge come Sunday evening.
Evan Washburn's going to be handling some of the sideline duties for the NFL on CBS, the AFC Championship game coming up on Sunday from Arrowhead Stadium. I want to know about Andy Reid, because Andy Reid is a brilliant offensive mind, but I don't think he's wired like normal coaches. I could be wrong on this. It feels like he's less do or die about every game. It seems like he's a little bit more socially normal than most crazy coaches. What's been your experience talking to Reid, and what's your thumbnail on his personality?
That's an interesting take. I will say this. We've had him a few times over the years, and by no means would I say I've gotten to know him, but my take in those short windows has been that he's a guy that is obsessed with football. I mean, there is no doubt. It seems to be at his happiest in a film room, on a whiteboard. Those sessions with his offensive staff have become legendary, even going back to his Green Bay days with John Gruden, who told a great story about how they had this massive whiteboard, almost like a Beautiful Mind, if you think back to that movie, just drawing up plays. So I think that's where his obsession lies. When it comes to his personality, he's got a very subtle sense of humor that I find endearing and interesting, but he's very guarded as well. I mean, he's not the kind of guy that comes into our production meetings, kicks up his feet, and opens up to the world. So you kind of use that as a way to kind of build a personality, at least when it comes to what we get on our level of things, which I think is a bit deeper than maybe what you get at a press conference. But to me, he is like a lot of coaches and like his counterpart on Sunday, Bill Belichick, who I know he's friends with, and they really respect each other. There's an obsession with the game of football, and for him specifically, offense, that I think is probably second to none in terms of current coaching.
So maybe I have a wrong read on this. I feel like I could walk into a sports bar in Kansas City and sit down next to Andy Reid and eat wings and drink a beer, and he would talk football with me. I think if I sat down in Boston next to Bill Belichick, he would probably dump soup on my head. And maybe this is because also the assistant coaches that have come out of both, the guys that have come out of the Patriots have been jerks, and the guys that have come out of the Chiefs or the Eagles have seemed like normal guys, like Doug Peterson, like Matt Nagy. It has just felt like they're normal human beings. But maybe my read on this is completely wrong. Is Andy Reid more of a guarded Belichick type guy than we might realize?
I would say this, and look, this is a lot of pop psychology, which is fun. But I think there's a lot of similarities on both fronts with both. So I would push back a little bit on the Belichick not being a guy you'd want to sit at a bar with and have a beer. Look, I think it's been well documented that the way that he approaches the media and things when it comes to his organization and strategy and all those things is his method. But people I trust say that when you catch him in the right moments and away from the field, and I've had small windows of this, he is as interesting and personable a guy as you'll find. And conversely, I agree. I think Andy Reid would fall into the category of somebody you'd like to sit down and have some wings with and have a few beers and talk football. I just think it's so much is how you package it as a head coach. And a lot of the times, it's funny, I spend a whole season and months on months just listening to press conferences, going to production meetings. And look, there's a value to it, but it can drive you a little nuts because they're all saying around the same thing. It's just how they package it. Mike Tomlin's great at this. I mean, you walk out of a press conference from Mike Tomlin, like, man, that was awesome, because he has a command of the language. But then you look down at your notes and you think, man, I don't know anything about what's going to happen Sunday. So it's really like advertising. It's how you sell it.
Hey, my final question is going to be about Patrick Mahomes, because Mahomes is obviously a wonderful talent, but there is something within him where it's easy to follow. I think that veterans don't look at him as a young kid anymore. I think they look at him as their leader. I don't know if it's composure in big spots. I don't know if it's a maturity, but when you see Mahomes or you hear him speak, what makes it so easy for him to lead at such a young age?
Well, I think because it appears that he is comfortable in whatever room he's in. If he's in an offensive meeting room with Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid, and they're really seriously going over the nuances of a game plan, he can hang in that language and have that conversation about the mechanics of putting together a play and a game plan and some real high-level football IQ conversations. But then equally, he could walk down the hallway and step into the training room with a bunch of 20-somethings and talk about Fortnite or whatever these guys are doing away from the field. And, I mean, he seems – and he's comfortable. It's not an act. No part of Patrick Mahomes is, I read this book about what leadership's about, and I should say this in post-game interviews. I should say this to my teammates in big moments. It all kind of just exudes a comfort, and he doesn't at any point seem to be putting on a show. And then what it really comes down to, and D.A., you know this covering sports as long as you have, it is all washed away by performance. And whether you're a guy that doesn't connect with the locker room or can't hang in those offensive meetings, if you take the field and you make the plays that he often makes, all of that gets thrown out the window. He just seems to be the perfect marriage of all those things, which makes him such an exciting talent for Chiefs fans, for the NFL as an organization, as a business, for us as a network that has the AFC, and I'm sure loves the idea of showing Patrick Mahomes games for the next however long we have the NFL. I mean, that to me is what makes Mahomes special, is that it's not just the performance on the field, it's that he can seemingly be comfortable in all these different areas, and it's natural. And that, and again, my opinion, having been around a lot of these young athletes, is rare.
That's a good read on that. Evan Washburn is going to be handling the sideline duties alongside Tracy Wolfson as part of the AFC Championship game coming up for CBS on Sunday. Let me just tell you this. Two things to watch out for when Evan is on your TV screens. Number one, it is really hard to do good broadcasting when it's really cold because naturally blood rushes to your extremities and not to your brain. So it's hard motor skills-wise to speak fluently and coherently. I know this, so watch that. If Evan ends up messing up, you realize that's just because it's really cold out and he has no control over his brain. Number two, hair is going to be crucial on a frozen day. The great thing is you don't need as much hair product. Your hair is beautiful as it is, but it'll freeze in place. So that's a good thing.
There you go. I mean, I walk away from this learning something, and I appreciate that. You're right. That the frozen jaw is a challenge, and it almost sounds like we've had a few during the game. That's not the case.
It's true.
You can't combat the fact that, and especially when you're doing sidelines, there may be a 15 to 20 minute window where you're not talking, and things can get a bit locked in. But we have our methods to try and combat it all. So we'll see if we can do that Sunday.
Sideline reporting is a game of will, and we'll see as Evan withstands the cold. Thanks, buddy.
You got it, man. Have a good one.
Evan Washburn joining us this morning here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. I always have a lot of respect for, like, when Football Night in America goes on the road and they're at a freezing cold Lambeau. Same thing with Monday Night Countdown or something like this. When you've got to think outdoors and speak extemporaneously and it's frozen out, your brain's just not working that quick. It's just absolutely not working very fast. It's great. And then you start slurring your words. Everyone thinks that you had one too many pops in the parking lot. When we come back here on the show, a little cut line. The stories that did not make the cut. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Happy Throwback Thursday to you, everybody. Thanks for being with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Have I reminded you that you can watch the best of clips every single day by going to YouTube? Search the DA Show on YouTube. You'll see the best of in video form. Plus, go to our Facebook page. Same place. You can see all the videos every single day. Facebook.com/TheDAShow. And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This week's Permission Granted podcast features Huge Freeze in the lead-up to next week's jersey retirement ceremony.
Correct.
Lewis in Palmdale tweets, listening to Robbie on this week's PGP, this guy has grown on me like a bot fly. I will shed a tear for sure. Adrian, a longtime D-Alien, tweets, the turning point for me was Death by Salsa. That was such a funny segment. His smack talk while shoving ice cream and salsa down his throat really showed his charm and moxie. I would say charm and moxie, two perfect adjectives to describe Huge Freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Moose tweets, this whole thing has brought about so much division amongst the mothership and the D'Aliens. We're all supposed to be one big, happy intergalactic family. Can't wait until this is all behind us.
I love Robbie.
Yes. It's like the Watergate hearings. Our long national nightmare will be over. Division amongst us here on the show. Next week on Thursday, we'll raise the XXXXXL Vikings jersey to the rafters. We will have a number of A-list celebrities sending off Robbie in memorable fashion into the ether that is the mothership.
Run away, but it always is the same.
Alex tweets, hope y'all can squeeze this in. Today is Betty White's 97th birthday. I hope I can make 9-7. I hope that I can make triple digits. That is a real goal of mine. I think triple digits would be amazing. At that point, you hit triple digits, then I can kick the can. But just to see 100 next to my age would be absolutely amazing. If I lasted a full century, a century being on Earth, that'd be amazing. But I'm just talking about eating pudding through a tube at that point. Betty White is still acting. She's still funny. She's still got charm and moxie. She's the original huge freeze.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. And if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be from me. And the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend.
She is an American icon. She is an inspiration. Because getting to 97 is hard enough. Getting to 97 and having your wits about you and still having some type of sense of humor is perfect. And that's the thing that I love. That when you see people that hit 97, 100, 105, 115, these are not people that are like, oh, I made sure that, you know, I was on the Atkins diet. You know, I made sure I didn't touch alcohol my entire life. I never picked up a cigarette. I never did anything. No, I lived this kind of, you know, monk life. No, these are people that were just smart and healthy. Smart and healthy will get you so far. Dumb and fat is going to be a problem. Sorry, just is. But
how did that happen?
Smart and healthy will get you to like 90. That's it. Doesn't mean you have to be a monk. Doesn't mean, I mean, I was looking at one guy. He was like 109. He drinks a little whiskey every day. You know, my grandpa's 95. He drinks a little bit of wine every night at dinner. You know, it's like you can do, you don't have to be this kind of templeless paragon of prudishness and of some type of keeping all vices away. You just got to be smart and you got to be relatively healthy. Can't be fat and stupid. That's it. So Mraz, there's hope for all of us.
I have to change my ways. The only thing I'll say, and we love her, Betty White, not exactly thin, not exactly, she plays a dumb role on TV. So she plays the dumb and fat a little bit.
Well, I definitely don't think she plays a fat role. That's for sure. This isn't exactly Mike and Molly reboot here.
No, but I mean, if she... Look, she's not exactly a poster of thin.
She's 97 years
old. So what, 97? Everybody's fat now? She's not thin.
Oh, come on. Okay, let me ask you. In Golden Girls, did you... She was normal weight and height.
I mean, we're really pushing the limits of normal. She's not Robbie, for sure.
She's not you.
What does that mean?
Well, you're overweight. She's not.
I bet you if we both showed our bellies, Betty White's got a bigger belly right now than me.
I mean, that is the dumbest. You've said a lot of dumb things. You've said so many dumb things. I can't even believe that I'm going to put this on the put it on the board. Yes, that is one of the single dumbest things you've ever said. There's no way she has a Buddha belly. You have a giant Buddha belly falling. You couldn't squeeze into the Yogi Berra t-shirt last week. You think?
Well, I was in it. It was a matter of how much. She wouldn't look in the Yogi shirt. And listen, I've changed my ways on Betty. Icon, I agree. My point is to say dumb and fat, she's not exactly thin and healthy is my whole point. She's my idol to get that way with her weight.
She's clearly healthy. She's 97.
Right. So my point is I could be like her if she has the belly like me.
She does not have the belly like you. Do you think she sits around and crushes buffalo chicken dip all day on Sunday with 13 hours of a sedentary life watching television?
How do we know what she's on a Sunday? She's never had a chicken finger suddenly?
She's not built like she's watching 15 hours of TV like you are, shoving your face.
But I'm fat. I'm in the gym 6 days a week using an air fryer, no more oils, okay? What is she doing? Yeah, she's probably sopping those chicken cutlets in oil.
Yeah, she doesn't have a football food of the week either.
Yeah, right.
She's eating something.
That always includes cheese. You know, we had 17 football food of the weeks. Every single one of them was covered in cheese.
And thank goodness, because we have an over amount of cheese now in this country, as you saw. People got to start eating it.
Okay. Let's get to the topics that did not make the show. It is time for your cut line.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
There could be good news for Chiefs fans heading out to Arrowhead Stadium on Sunday. The Arctic blast may not hit per AccuWeather. Temperatures that were hurtling towards negative degrees with a wind chill now might be in the 20s. That's not bad at all. There was supposed to be an Arctic blast as well as a super blood wolf moon. Oh, yeah. Super blood wolf moon. We know the moon's going to be there, but according to the weather reports right now, could be dry and sunny with temperatures low 20s, high teens. That'd be way better for fans going out there than negative 7.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
As I said before, I think the weather actually helps out the Patriots a little bit because I think that they'll be able to run the football more effectively or want to run the football more effectively than the Chiefs are going to be able to do or will do. And if it's going to be a cold day where it's tougher to throw, running the football is going to be crucial. And I would bet on the Patriots' ground game over the Chiefs' ground game. But, you know, the big problem is that the Patriots have just been crap on the road. They've been terrible away from Gillette Stadium. And Arrowhead is also one of the best home field advantages in all of sports. And the Chiefs are really good at Arrowhead. Really good this year. All right, let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And refresh my memory here.
It is somebody telling us the greatest love story ever told.
Oh, right, right. We had a caller call up in the first hour of the show and said that some people that he talks to just don't understand the show, which is understandable. But then he had to convince them, don't worry, Mraz is part of the greatest love story ever told.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Hank's in Oklahoma listening to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Hank.
Hey, happy Thursday.
What's up?
Hey, I got a quick concern with Hurts coming to Oklahoma, but real quick, I got a shout-out from Mraz. I had a buddy in my fantasy league come up and ask me how I just won for the third year in a row.
Just been a degenerate lately, D.A.
So I'm a competitive guy, but I'm empathetic.
Hey, boo-boo.
So I turned him on to the D.A. show. I told him, get on the mothership, listen to Bill Ryder. And so he does it for a week, and he comes back, and he says, well, I've heard Mraz talk a lot.
Don't get me started on the charcuterie board.
And I just as well blindfolded myself and turned on my 600-pound life.
Even if I don't like pastrami or corned beef, gotta have thick meat, thick bread.
And I tell him you're missing the bigger picture. We're getting a taste of the greatest love story ever told, which is the big man and his big appetite.
If you don't like start shedding a tear when you hear Begin Again, you have something wrong with you.
I love that song.
Oh, it's one of my favorite songs.
What are you even talking about right now?
It's an amazing song about new chance at having love. Thank you, Mraz.
One of my favorite
Never
songs.
Mind, we're soulmates, Mraz.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Wow, that is dug out of the archives. That's Mraz and Kenny Brock with Amy hosting the DA show. That was way back in the overnight days.
Yeah, that was probably from 2013, 2014. We had a nice conversation about Taylor Swift and love stories, and I thought it fit there.
That's no longer your relationship with any of those people in that clip.
You are so beautiful.
Well, we're all singing. It's all terrible. Alex tweets, happy 97th birthday to Betty White. Can we all get to 97 and still just be like you, Betty? But DA, please never sing the Golden Girls theme song again. Kevin tweets, I'm blaming Mraz for the torture that is your singing, DA. You missing the house is killing our collective ears. Ryan tweets, I'm in the automotive industry. Had a 96-year-old come in for service yesterday. Guy was hilarious. Had my whole crew cracking up. Walks 5 miles a day and was the happiest person I've talked to in a long time. Hashtag life goals.
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Brett tweets, I'd rather hear you sing the entire show with the Golden Girls theme song than hear any additional huge freeze discussions. Hashtag get them out. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Fear not. Next week, on Thursday, we'll raise his 4XL Vikings jersey to the rafters, and that will be it. That will be the end of Robbie's tenure on the DA show forever. So you wanted him out of there? Fine, you got it. But careful what you wish for. You'll never have a songbird of the new generation here on the show every day and to kick around. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com. And thanks to Andrew Bogus on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership Disconnect.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.